Hello, and welcome to another edition of AskIntegralExperts.com. I'm Doc Barham, your host.
And I'm your co-host, Michael Richardson.
And today we're very excited to be speaking with Compton Rahm. Compton is from Ascended Health. He is a medical school education from the University of Michigan and an MS in microbiology from Michigan State University. Compton is also an IBM certified IT architect who has experience directing medical disease management and drug outcome studies for such companies as Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Genentech. With a background based in Western scientific research and 20-year study of indigenous healing methodologies, Compton now creates unique blends of live, whole-earth natural remedies for the regeneration of the human body. His company is called Ascended Health, and its products include food supplements, beverage elixirs, and whole body oils for a holographic approach to our health. Its mission is to address the needs of our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energy bodies. Currently, Compton's interest lies in the utilization of ancient soil-based microbes as an addition to our diet. These microbes occupy the guts of our ancestors and may hold a key to long-lost regenerative factors when fermented using superfoods and sprouted grains. His products include the fermented byproducts of soil microbes from volcanoes on Japan, Hawaii, Vanuatu, Guatemala, Patagonia, and the tundras of Siberia and Alaska. These beneficial microbes could represent the future of medicine with the potential to treat a variety of diseases in humans and animals, and that's why we invited Compton here today to talk to us. Compton, welcome.
Welcome, Compton.
Thank you. Glad to be aboard.
Great. How are you doing today, my friend?
Really good.
Nice.
It's a nice Sunday. It's a beautiful day in California.
Excellent. Well, Compton, I am so excited that you're here. I'm a really big fan of your work and your products with Ascended Health. And I was hoping that for our listeners that you could talk to them a little bit about what is microbiology, what is a microbiologist, just to get us started and get us in the ballpark.
Okay, well, simply put, microbiology is the study of organisms that are too small to see with the human eye. Usually you have to see these organisms with a microscope, and some organisms are even smaller than microscopes to see, and you have to visualize them through electron microscopes. And they include organisms such as the viruses, the bacteria, the fungi, and the protozoa. And the protozoas are mainly like worms and parasites and things like that, which can still, you know, those actually can be seen by the human eye, but they're still covered by the study of microbiology.
Ah, okay. And can you talk to our listeners a little bit about what are microbes and what do they do in terms of, what do they do?
Okay. Well, microbes basically own our planet, in my opinion. The Earth is 4.5 billion years old, and you know, human beings haven't been here for that long, relatively speaking, but microbes have been here for 3.5 billion years, and the first mammals, I believe, have started to come only 100,000 years ago.
Wow.
So, and those are mammals, so not even human beings. And, you know, basically what happened is they've been on this earth longer than any other organisms on this earth. And they've lived on this earth. They've cultivated this earth. They put oxygen into the air, like the phytoplanktons in the ocean. Put oxygens in the air. They detoxify everything. So they make the world go round and round because they build things and they break them down. Anything that is made of this earth can be broken down by microbes. And when I mean anything, I mean anything. If you go inside the Chernobyl nuclear reactor, there's black slime inside the reactor because there are microbes to break that down.
Wow.
Right.
So they use this earth as two things. They either eat you or they live on you.
Right.
And that's it.
Cool.
They're the original mafia.
Right.
So they decide whether or not we live or die. Microbes do. And we need to really pay attention to them.
Right. Well, I've heard you talk about how all toxins can be broken down by microbes. How did you first discover this?
Well, it wasn't me that discovered it. I went to Michigan State University after medical school, and one of the programs that I was luckily involved in was through a laboratory by the name of Dr. James Tichy. And he heads up the Microbial Ecology Center at Michigan State University. And it was a project that I was on that basically tried to identify these microbes that were breaking down very toxic soils, PCBs and PVBs. And being one of, I was a very late graduate student coming into the program. So I was like the very last one to choose a project. And this was the project no one wanted because that you literally had to work with toxins, and you were working with anaerobic soil from the bottom of a river. And they basically told me to isolate out the organisms that was breaking down the PVBs. And, you know, after the end of the project, I was unsuccessful and at isolating an organism that was seemingly breaking down these toxins. And it was, you know, it was then they told me that if I was successful, they would have told me I was lying. and they were glad that I told them the truth, because I was, their theory was that it took a whole community of microbes working together in concert to literally break down a very complex human-made toxin like PVBs and PCBs. And it was really fascinating to me. And what happened was that no matter what you put out there, and no matter how toxic it is, eventually some microbe will mutate itself enough to put out a product that will slowly break down that product, even one little thing. And in this case, it was actually breaking down one little energy bond of this complex molecule called PVB. And that was it. That's all that microbe ate. And its excrement, i.e. its feces, was this PVB minus one bond. And guess what? That turned out to be the food of another microbe. And so on and so forth. And what toxin breakdown really means is basically the breaking up of the energy bonds in a particular molecule in such a way that you have this electron flow through a chain of microbes.
Oh, wow.
And it took over 10,000 different strains of microbes working together to literally take the excrement from one microbe above it and use it as food to break it down, and then the next microbe took it. And if you took and poisoned one microbe in the chain, it would clog up the whole system.
Wow.
And, you know, the term dying in one shit, I think this is where it happened. It would literally stop the whole chain of microbes from being able to eat, because all the microbes, they would just start clogging up in their own excrement, and they would literally die.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Now, Compton, so, I understand that microbes can break down toxins in the external world, but does this also apply to like internal toxins inside the human body?
Yeah, microbes don't. They don't make a difference between the external world and inside the human body.
Right.
To them, it's all the same. So, you know, it became clear to me that when this microbial ecology center started in the middle 80s, that pretty soon, you know, this whole issue with humans being really toxic on the inside will be taken care of by the pharmaceutical company. And, you know, I waited, you know, after I went through graduate school, I was just kind of waiting to see that the new industry, which was called bioremediation, the cleanup of toxins in our Superfund sites by microbes, will soon turn to the internal bodies, but it never happened.
Was that also the same kind of thing when they had the oil spills and they were talking about adding microbes to eat the oil spills? Is that similar?
That's exactly the same thing.
Okay, all right.
So when you talk about the microbe in the breakdown of oil spills, they've been doing that for years. And you know, to bring it up to speed here in the Gulf oil spill, they didn't even have to put microbes into the Gulf oil spill, because what all the microbiologists know was that oil has been seeping into the Gulf for years. And the Gulf is really warm. It's really rich with microbes. And this just explosion of oil, all it did was just, it just turned on all the microbes that were already there.
Wow.
And Corexit, the dispersant, was put in the water, and you know, everyone is aghast at the toxicity of the dispersant. But believe it or not, it actually makes the oil more available, the surface area of the oil more available to the microbes, and it's actually breaking down the oil a lot faster. I hate to say this, but there is a reason why they put Corexit into the oil to disperse the oil so the microbes can get back at it even further. 99.9% of the cleanup of the oil is going to be done by the natural microbes that are already in the water.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and then there's another fellow by the name of Paul Stamets. He wrote Six Ways Mushrooms and Save the World, but it was all about how fungi are real scavengers of toxins. You know, if you're really toxic, eat mushrooms, because they will soak up a lot of the toxins inside your body.
What kind of mushrooms?
We're talking like reishi mushrooms, another mushroom called king's trumpet, cordyceps, lion's mane, those kind of mushrooms.
Okay.
So they literally soak up a lot of toxins. And then the bacteria that really work well inside the body at killing the toxins, especially the heavy metals, are the lactobacilli, especially the plantarums, the caseae, and the paracaceae. And what they do is they actually produce these acids, basically, that will take heavy metals like arsenic and lead and mercury and literally bind to these things in the presence of humic acid and fulvic acid and other minerals and break them down into small bioavailable components so they'll be excreted out by the urine.
Wow.
So it's actually their food.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So then these different microbes, it sounds, there are clearly microbes that are, you know, have positive symbiotic relationships with us, and those that perhaps do not have the most positive symbiotic relationships with us. You made a statement I saw once that the human body is filled with microbes. What is the percentage in the human body of microbes overall?
Well, that's a really good question to ask, because no one really knew until a couple of years ago that we actually had 10 trillion human cells in the human body. If you count the number of hair cells, the number of skin cells, cardiac cells, 10 trillion cells, which is a lot of cells. But when they actually counted the number of living cells in the average human body, it numbered over 100 trillion cells in the human body.
Uh-huh.
100 trillion. So that means only 10% of the living cells in our body are of human origin, right?
Wow.
So the scientists, being as ego-filled as we are as human beings, said, ha-ha, what we'll do is we'll take the DNA. We'll take a whole human cadaver and find out how much dry weight DNA is in a human being, and then somehow figure out the other DNA that's in the human body. So somehow they separated out all the DNA in the human body into dry weight DNA and said, how much of a human body consists of actual human DNA versus non-human DNA? And do you know what that figure was?
No.
2%.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. At most, 2 to 4% of the DNA in the human body is actually human. 98% of the DNA in the human body is actually of non-human origin, believe it or not. Which is shocking.
That's incredible.
Right. So, but you need to take into account that 2% of the DNA is very important, right?
Right.
Makes a lot of the decisions. But it doesn't mean that the 98% of the DNA there doesn't have input into that 2%. Right?
Uh-huh.
It's like having a car and having all these passengers on the car diddling with the car, but then the car itself might be, you know, 2% of all the passengers that are having input in the car. Well, the passengers are the ones that determine what kind of fuel the car gets, you know, what kind of battery cables a car gets. So if you put like poor battery cables on your car, they get rusted out real easy, boom, you break down. And then you think it's the problem with the car, but it's not. It's actually the problem with the person who decides to put what kind of battery cables on the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the microbes in our body have an important effect on what kind of food our body gets. They actually break down the food. When we swallow food, our digestive enzymes, number one, a lot of the digestive enzymes we have come from microbes. So basically, and all of the vitamins that we have in our body come from microbes. So basically, when we're getting our nutrition, you know, all but 22 or 20 essential amino acids or essential vitamins come from microbes.
So the vitamins are actually like an excretion from the microbe?
That's right.
Wow.
It's their poop.
Wow. It's their poop?
Well, you can call them their poop.
Wow,
that's the stuff that we eat, you know?
Yeah,
that's and
awesome.
Microbes, that's the way they communicate. You know, they can't shout, and they don't have a neural network like fungi do. Mm. They actually, it's been proven, if you go to TED.com, there's actually a scientist there that proves that bacteria can actually communicate to each other. And they communicate through these extracellular molecules that they excrete in the human body, and they say whether or not they need food or that food and what kind of things are there to kill them, right?
Right.
So you get this little antibiotic, which itself is from a microbe. Did you know that antibiotics come from microbes?
Uh-huh. Wow. Right? Okay.
They come from yeast. Okay. The first antibiotic is penicillin, and it came from this yeast that grew atop of bread. It was this green mold, and people started figuring out that you ate this green moldy bread, you didn't get sick. Mm-hmm. Well, it turned out that microbes live in a war zone called the human body. They're always like fighting for position. And it's like a Walmart parking lot. You know, if you go to Walmart on Saturday, you're always fighting for a parking spot, right? and you will defend that parking spot to the death just so you can have that prime parking spot. You'll put cones around you. You'll put your daughter there, whatever. I've seen cones around, you know, certain parking spaces. Hmm. Well, the microbes do the same thing. In the human body, they have a particular parking spot. Every single niche in the human body is filled up by a microbe if there's a food that can go past it, you know, like in the gut. Every single niche in the gut is filled up by a microbe. Every single niche on our skin is filled up with microbes. Mm. You know, a lot of Western science says that inside the human body itself, it's sterile, but I think that perhaps it's not. There are signs saying that there are microbes so small that they even occupy those niches in the human body. So the bottom line is, in order to defend a particular spot, they make these compounds called bacteriocins. Bacteria make bacteriocins, yeast make antibiotics, but basically they are compounds that kill off other bacteria so they don't take their spot. If you're a bacteria, and you're a lactobacteria, which is a bacteria that's common, you will make bacteriocins that will kill off Staphylococcus and E. coli and other bacteria. And they'll actually make things that kill off viruses. You know, there are studies that go back to the 1970s that show that certain species of bacteria produce substances that can kill off polio virus.
Wow.
So, but then you think to yourself, why would they want to do that, right? Well, it's because they live in the human body. It's their home. Just
sure.
Like it's our home. They want to do anything in their power to make sure that their home stays safe so they can live there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kill them off, like nondescriptly, like with these antibiotics, these broad spectrum antibiotics. We kill all of them off. We say, hey, go away, you know?
Yeah, and, I think if it's, can you explain to people, like literally, I mean, my understanding of these broad spectrum antibiotics is they just sort of, it's like a Russian scorched earth technique. They just lay waste to everything in the body in terms of these kinds of microbes, and right?
That's right. It's like taking a flamethrower on your yard and killing, you know, everything on your yard and then hoping your yard grows back perfectly fine.
Right.
But it's not going to grow up perfectly fine. Spores from across the street from different weeds are going to land on your yard, and they're going to start growing. They go, hey, there's no grass here that's defending its turf, you know, pun intended.
Right, right.
And I can grow here now, right? So that's the same thing. When you take antibiotics or you take substances that are designed to kill antibiotics like Listerine and you keep washing your mouth out every single day with this poison called Listerine, and you literally poison off all the bacteria in your mouth, the next time you eat a McDonald's burger, which is teeming with bacteria, you know, everyone needs to figure out that we don't live in a sterile world. Every time we drink a piece of water, a glass of water, every time we eat anything, it is not sterile.
Right.
There's bacteria there. When you clean your mouth out with Listerine, you're completely sterile. If you basically had cleared your lawn, per se, and you just retilled your lawn, so the next piece of bacteria that goes there, they're like, hey, this is great. There's nothing defending its turf. They're not producing bacteriocins against me. I'm going to start proliferating. And then people have this condition called thrush in their mouths after, like, you know, 3 months of use of Listerine. And then they're going to their doctor going, hey, I've got this white tongue, and it's filled with fungus. What's going on? Well, you know, what's going on is you got rid of the natural inhabitants of your home. You kicked them out of their house. You killed them. And they're not there to defend it.
Yeah, you just wiped out the environment, like you just nuked the whole mouth. And now the bad guys can show up, so to speak. That's interesting.
Right.
Then they'll market the Listerine as it kills bad breath. But in a certain sense, it's going to be generating it in the long run.
Yeah, it's... It kills bad breath, but it kills all the good bacteria too.
Right.
What they don't understand is, well, in fact, they do understand this because, you know, they know that it's going to keep your mouth in a poor hygienic condition in the long run. So you have to keep going back and buying more products.
Right.
But
right.
What science is just beginning to understand is that we have several immune systems in our body. And when the first immune system started, it was called, they called it our blood came up with these compounds called antibodies to get at the bad bugs. So they called it our humoral immune system because it came in our blood. And it was a immune system that was turned on by a causative agent. So it wasn't an always on immune system. It was an on-off immune system. So it was either off or it was on. If you got sick, it was on, big time. If you didn't get sick, it was off. And that's what they thought the immune system was. And then in the 1970s, they said, hey, there are these other things that are helping the antibodies that aren't antibodies, but they're elicited by these other white blood cells called T cells, and they seem to be acting from these cells in a cellular way, and these substances are called human substances called lymphokines and cytokines and interleukins, and they affected how different blood cells reacted towards pathogens, and it became known as our cellular immune system. And that started the big growth in funding when you started talking about AIDS. Right. Well, now they're finding out that the combination of these two immune systems, the cellular immune system and the humoral immune system, are antibodies, which are on off. Those things are only turned on when you get sick. They pale in comparison to what they found out was what they called the intrinsic or the always on immune system in our body, meaning that some people never seem to get sick. Yet other people always got sick. And scientists were like, why is that? Well, it's because these people had an intrinsically high rate of something in their body that was keeping all the pathogenic bacteria away and down. And you know what that was? It was bacteria. Some people had a good set of bacteria that were pumping out these antimicrobials against the bad bacteria. And other people had a poor set of bacteria that was pumping out poor bacteria. So they had a low intrinsic immunity, and they always got sick, and therefore they were always stressed out, with their adrenals and everything, because their humoral immune system, their antibodies, and their cellular immune system, their T cells, were always firing off, and they never had a chance to rest.
Right.
Whereas the people that were always healthy were always healthy because, A, their humoral immune system, their antibodies never seemed to go off, and their T cells never seemed to go off. They were always put on reserve because their main team, the bacteria, was always out there. They had healthy bacteria.
Right, right.
And the way they found this out is looking at the way people, what they ate.
Huh.
Because they said, you know, what you eat determines the metabolites in your urine.
Mm-hmm.
And all they did was they just compared people's metabolites in their urine and said, people with this certain set of metabolites seem to never get sick and they lived a long time. And people with this certain set of metabolites seem to always get sick and they always got diseases.
Right.
And they didn't live very long. They only lived on an average of like 70 years. And they died of cancer, diabetes, and heart disease.
Mm.
And then the people that lived a long time lived an average of like 85 years. 85 years.
Right.
And they lived on, they never got diabetes. They died of old age, arthritis, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then they looked at the metabolites in their body, and then they came up with this word called the metabolome, saying that the metabolites that you have in your body are more determinative to your lifespan than your genes, i.e. your genome. And then they found out that what the metabolites and the metabolome were determined by was the kind of bacteria that you had in your body. And they knew that because when they actually transferred the gut bacteria from the people that were healthy to the people that were sick, the people that were sick got healthy, like literally within a month.
Hmm.
And their diabetes went down, they got rid of their heart disease. It was a seminal paper published April in 2008 in Nature magazine.
Wow.
And then on top of that, they said, well, why do some people have good sets of bacteria inside them and other people have bad sets of bacteria inside of them? And I guess we all know the answer to that, and it's our diet.
Right.
The people that ate raw fermented foods high in fresh organic vegetables and fermented, like kimchi, like sauerkraut, like yogurt, those people had high amounts of really good bacteria in their gut. Right?
Yeah.
The people that ate processed sugars, that ate high fructose corn sugar, which had a lot of monosodium glutamate, ate processed fat, processed wheat, genetically modified corn, they had weird bacteria in their gut.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where those people were? They were in America and in the kingdom.
Right.
And then they studied people in China. In fact, they studied the poorest people in China, the ones that couldn't afford to go to the McDonald's that was in Beijing. They were the ones too poor to go to the big city. And they had to grow their own vegetables and they had very little meat to eat. But the meat that they ate was really healthy, and they didn't have enough money to actually put the chemical fertilizers on their crops. They just let them grow wild and free.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually living the longest because they had all the healthy bacteria. So which goes into thinking, like, you know, all these man-made fertilizers and man-made crops, you know, we're eating the bacteria that are growing on those crops and that are growing in those fields. We eat them in our bodies. And those bacteria are foreign, completely foreign to the human body.
You know, Compton, I had a question. Do you remember the Morgan Spurlock documentary called Supersize Me a few years ago?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was such a fascinating documentary. And I remember watching, it's about halfway through the documentary, and I think he's like beginning or in the middle of his third week of eating nothing but McDonald's food. And the thing that I noticed is that he's literally radically altered as a person. Like his face looks different. He looks like a different person. There's a gray cast to his face.
Mm-hmm.
And when he eats that food, like before he eats it, he's almost in like a junkie's depression. Mm-hmm. And then when he eats the food, his state changes really radically. And I know for myself that in years past, when I traveled on the road quite a bit, it was hard for me to get good, healthy food. And I might eat, this kind of bad junk food several meals in a row. And what I noticed was it would put me into a state where I would literally begin to crave the junk food more and literally have feelings of aversion towards good, healthy food. How does this relate to the microbes in the body? I mean, I know that has, to do with biochemistry and things like that, but I would like to know what's the microbial portion of that.
Well, the microbes that actually feed off of dead animal flesh, especially dead animal flesh that has been processed in such a way that they can make 35-cent hamburgers, that they're cutting corners somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the microbes that wreak havoc in your body that that eat off of that are radically different from the microbes that you have in your body when you eat raw food and organic food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. And what happens is what they found out, that whatever you eat, those microbes, because they're so different, they're going to want to stay there. They don't want to die. So
okay.
What they do is they start sending out these neuropeptides that work on your brain, right? In your gut, they call your gut the second brain. You know
right.
why? It's because they secrete substances in your bloodstream that go right to your brain and they get turned into neurotransmitters.
Right, okay.
And those neurotransmitters basically say, feed me more burgers, more fast food burgers, as opposed to feed me a carrot or give me a salad. You know, it takes about 6 weeks to be converted fully into these this biofeedback mechanism. Those microbes, they don't want to die. They're going to want you to keep eating the food that keeps them alive.
Okay.
So if you, if those microbes live off of, let's say, a McDonald's cheeseburger, you're going to get McDonald's cheeseburger optimized microbes in your gut system. And the more of those cheeseburgers you eat, the more of those microbes are going to be sending signals to your brain to get more of that stuff. That's why it's so hard to wean yourself away from fast food. I know, because I've done it for years.
Yeah. Right.
And I finally just started to wean myself off of fast food. And I figured out the best way to do it is just start cramming your gut directly with probiotic bacteria that were grown on sprouted foods. It was just such a radical concept. I go, hey, this has got to work. And at Ascended Health, we started creating these elixirs, like really good elixirs, like a chocolate euphoria elixir and an endurance elixir and a lemon ginger elixir. Well, they're crammed full of microbes that have been grown off of sprouted flax, sprouted, mung beans and really good, healthy sprouts. And then when they go into your body, guess what you start craving after like 6 weeks of drinking this stuff? You
yeah.
literally start craving a salad, and you look at a cheeseburger and you don't want it anymore. I'm serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
This happens. So that's, and on top of that, it's not even the microbes, the fast food industry, they're spiking the food with different types of addictive molecules to make you more addicted to their foods.
Right.
Like monosodium glutamate, MSG is the most easily identified addictive compound that they'll put in the food. And a lot of Chinese restaurants do it. But like casein, they'll use casein is a protein found in cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
McDonald's cheese is a particularly addictive cheese, because it has a specific compound mm-hmm. made to make you crave that kind of cheese. And same with the fats that McDonald's uses to fry their fries with and to fry their burgers with.
Right. What other ways can bacteria influence our consciousness? We've talked a little bit about how they influence us in the gut. Are there any other areas of the body where microbes exist that can also influence our consciousness?
Well, microbes mainly, the majority of our microbes exist in our gut. And as far as scientific research has stated, again, they influence our consciousness many ways. Number one is the things that they excrete into the gut. It goes directly into our bloodstream and it goes into our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, we don't have any microbes in our brain, but because the microbes in our gut have such an influence to what our brain thinks, it's almost as if our brain is really in our gut, and we also have a brain in our heart. They actually call our gut the second brain because those microbes are actually excreting substances both on a physical, to feed our physical energy body, but also our mental energy body. They feed us substances that keeps us mentally acute and aware. And they definitely feed us substances that feeds off of our emotional energy body, because they give us substances like dopamine and serotonin.
Uh-huh.
To make us happy.
Uh-huh.
And then they give us other substances to make us feel really sad and cranky, you know, so we can get hungry and we get fed again. And you know, a lot of people when they're going through diets, everyone knows the difficulty in diets is mainly through emotion, because you're eating to satisfy and quell an emotional craving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to say that bacteria don't have anything to do with the emotions in the body is just pure hogwash. They have everything to do with the emotions in the body.
I agree. You know, there are a lot of products on the market that are, I guess, two different areas. Some of them are antimicrobial. And then there are other products on the market that are probiotic. And I think that a lot of those products have a lot of marketing hype around them and don't do what they claim. Can you talk a little bit about those two areas?
Sure. Let's just define what does antimicrobial and probiotic mean.
Okay? Great. Yeah.
So antimicrobial is anti-microbes. So anything that will kill off microbes is antimicrobial.
Right.
Okay. Now, does that mean you should never take antimicrobial products? No, it doesn't mean, because if I'll make a blanket statement. For me, every time I need to kill off something, you need to replenish it with something else. And that includes addiction, okay? I don't consider addictions bad. I think addictions are just part of human life. If you kick off an addiction, you need to replace it with something healthier, something better that serves you. And hopefully serves the world as a whole. So antimicrobials, if you're really sick and you need to take antibiotics, and you're really sick and heaven forbid you have to take chemotherapy and other things that kill off your body, you better on the backside start taking probiotics, which are healthy bacteria and beneficial bacteria to replenish it with, because you're literally clearing out your neighborhood of all the good tenants in your neighborhood. And if you don't do that with the probiotics, which are the good tenants, you get the squatters.
So, right.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't know how to take care of your house.
Yeah.
You know, I was traveling through Eastern Europe 7 years ago, and the government there happened to start making all these houses for the indigent people of the area, which happened to be the gypsies. Well, the gypsies were nomads, and they had no idea how to live in these big apartment buildings, and they started to burn down one by one because they never really told the gypsies how to live in an apartment building, which number one is you don't build bonfires in the middle of your living room. so it was a complete waste of time, and that's what the bad bacteria do. They don't know how to live in our body. A lot of people think parasites are bad for our body. But again, as a microbiologist, I know that parasites are a very essential part of our body. Not all parasites are bad. In fact, if you think about it, if you were a parasite, the reason why you're a parasite is because you're good at hiding. It's the bad parasites that show themselves that try to ruin the host and ruin it for all the other parasites that don't know how to live in the human body, like a tapeworm. Tapeworms have no idea how to live in a human body. In fact, they're idiots, right? They eat everything in sight. They grow to enormous length, and they eventually kill their host. And it's because they weren't evolutionarily trained to live in a human body. They're actually young in the evolutionary sense and trying to coexist with a human. They're actually meant for another organism. And but the parasites we have in our body, they're finding out now, like, we have a lot of roundworms and hookworms that are so small that they don't cause any harm in the human body. They actually coexist in our body. Not only coexist, they actually keep us, they're responsible for our sexual health.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. They found in this snail that there's this snail that had a parasite that made a ring around the snail. And these snails were, you know, as snails would do, were sexually active. But when they gave those snails an antibiotic that killed that parasite specifically, and they know it killed the parasite because the snails would be bleach white. They didn't have this typical ring that indicated that the parasite were there. That snail became sexually non-reproductive. They would not be attracted to another snail, and they wouldn't mate. It was only when they reintroduced these snails with that parasite that these snails started to reproduce again. Okay? And so they're looking at sexual dysfunction in human beings as partially as because we might be actually too hygienic, that we might not have a proper mix of some yet unfounded parasite in our body. And that when you actually dirty yourself and introduce some parasites in your body, some people that had sexual dysfunction actually started to get functioning sex again, which I thought was pretty strange.
Wow.
And people, there's this weird therapy, obviously it's not sanctioned by the FDA, where people are actually taking hookworms and pinworms because they're finding out that people with these hookworm and pinworm diseases in Africa don't ever have any autoimmune diseases.
Huh.
Right? They don't have things like rheumatoid arthritis. They don't have hay fever. They don't have allergies, nothing. Because they live out in the dirt and they're full of these roundworms and hookworms. And they found out that when, you know, these aid workers came down there and go, hey, you got all these roundworms and hookworms. Let's clear you of all that stuff. Take these sulfa drugs and these other drugs from the pharmaceutical companies and cleared all these people from the roundworms and hookworms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they started to get arthritis and they started to get hay fever and autoimmune diseases. And they're like, forget this, man. They stopped taking the drugs and they went back to, you know, eating the stuff that they were eating, and they got reintroduced to the ringworms and the roundworms and the hookworms, and boom, their symptoms stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually a line of therapies right now where people are introducing themselves with these parasites.
Right.
And so, to get back to the original thing of probiotics versus antimicrobial, there are a lot of beneficial organisms that live in our body. We can't all say that they're all bad and we need to be antimicrobial. You have to be very selective about it. There comes a point where you need to kill the microbes in your body, like, wholeheartedly, but you need to replace it with the good microbes. There's about 1,000 species of good microbes that live in the gut. The beneficial microbes, when they say they represent the future of medicine, they really mean that you change the microbes in your gut, you change the microbes in your skin, you literally change the way you look and feel. And it has nothing to do with your genes. Nothing. Absolutely
right.
Nothing.
Right.
And the reason why they found that out is that study where they took these healthy humans that were in southern China, and it took this study a long time to find this out, like eating raw foods. Well, some of those people actually went to Houston, Texas, and they started eating ribs and McDonald's and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And within, just like Morgan Spurlock, within a year, they started to develop signs of diabetes, heart disease, and some developed some cancers.
Right. Does this mean that microbes are more influential than our own DNA?
Yes. I believe so.
Wow.
Yeah. So what they did was, okay, so these people from the same stock as the people in China that had no cancer, that had no diabetes, that had a very low incidence of heart disease in China, their children went to Houston, Texas. They started to get diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. Hmm. And what they did was they actually took their parents, they actually took their gut bacteria, which, you know, sounds kind of gross, but they actually took stool samples and took their gut bacteria and they cleaned out their stool samples and they cultured the gut bacteria of their parents. And they took feeding tubes and they re-inoculated their children with this bacteria, and all their symptoms of diabetes, heart disease, and cancer started to go away.
Wow.
So it was a change in bacteria that mattered, and it wasn't genes. So, you know, I'm very, you know, I wouldn't, when people talk about gene therapy and doctors and the different, you know, powers that be talk about gene therapy, you need to look at that as not a pantheon. And you shouldn't be flocking to these studies saying that change your genes, you change your life. No, you change your bacteria, you change your life.
Right. Why do you think so much of Western medicine fails to incorporate this type of knowledge into their worldview or practice?
I have no idea. I mean, I would like to, you know, I'm not, I'd like to be a conspiracy theorist and say that they can't make money at it. But, you know, honestly, Western medicine is the one that's validating all this. But, you know, if it was a cynic in me, I would say that there's so much money to be made in cancer research and you know, the fact that all these people are coming up with cancer and all these people are coming up with infectious disease, and, you know, and vaccines are a huge part of a pharma's income stream. You know, these statin drugs, the number one drug being sold in America are statin drugs, these anti-cholesterol drugs. Mm-hmm. It's huge money. Why would they be financially incentivized to tell people that if you just change the food you eat and the gut bacteria you have, you lower your incidence of heart disease? There's this, for example, there's this one food that they eat in Japan called natto. And people that eat it, they consume over 2 billion pounds of this bean in Japan. It's a disgusting taste, but it contains this probiotic called natto-bacillus. It's a lactobacillus, and they produce this enzyme called natto-kinase, and it eats away at the fibrin clots in your veins and arteries. And people, their incidence of heart disease, actual heart disease, not heart attack, is much lower in Japan than in the United States. It's almost non-existent because their veins are clear. And, you know, they don't have to take beta blockers and they don't have to take other heart medications, things like that.
Right.
So who knows, you know? All I'm saying is that there's, if you really want to know the truth, I think if there's one takeaway from this talk, it's the fact that the biggest impediment that anyone has to being fully healthy and fully well is to keep believing that someone else can save you, including me.
Yeah, you know, it does come down to responsibility, personal responsibility.
That's right. And you know, you need to know that, you know, doctors are an answer. You know, Western science is an answer because there's a lot of great products in Western science, but you shouldn't be saying that's the only way. You know, you need to start thinking of yourself, you know? It's like no one would ever buy a car because someone else told them to buy this car, right?
Right.
So why would you want to take this drug because someone else says, hey, take this drug, it's gonna be good for you? Because you think it's like so difficult to understand the concept? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not, you know? And if it's, you know, it's your life, you should make it a responsibility to start, you know, learning something, you know, and a lot of people are. So, and with this information age, you know, Google basically said that within 5 years, having a college degree is going to be worthless because if you really want to know something, the internet is the fastest way to get knowledge and to put it into use. faster than going to 4 years of college.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that things are actually changing so rapidly now, and there's so much information to try to stay on top of. I think that one of the most important skills for now and into the future is the ability to be able to manage that information so that you are a lifelong learner, but you're able to learn effectively and therefore continuously adapt to change. I think it's more important than ever before.
Yeah, and obviously services like yours is part of that change.
Yeah.
And I think the service that you're providing, AskIntegralExperts.com, is a very, very important role in being able to tell people and give them permission that that it's not so hard to get this information. And in fact, we're facilitators of that information.
Yeah, I mean,
we're breaking it down for you in really easy chunks and fun chunks. So
This stuff doesn't have to be hard. One of the things I really like is that you're able to explain this in a pretty straightforward, simple way that's understandable by just about anybody. And I usually find that that's an indication that the person has, to a large degree, kind of mastered their expertise or their domain or discipline, as opposed to people who will talk in a very abstracted way, which sounds very educated, but leaves the listener kind of clueless, you know, at the end of it.
Yeah.
And you're so good at making it simple and understandable. And you know, the Ascended Health products, I know that a few years ago I went to a dentist, and at the dentist they looked at my teeth and said that I had periodontal disease and that was going to cost me over $800 to get what they call plating, which is where they get below the gum line. And they take out all the periodontal disease. And I started using the Ascended Health toothpaste that you have.
Yeah, the Oralive.
The Oralive.
And it's a live toothpaste with actual probiotics.
I've never even heard of something like that. And I would love for you to talk about that, because I actually went from being very close to dropping $800 listening to my dentist to getting, I think, two jars of the toothpaste and not having any more periodontal disease.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and they have volcanic earth soil, and there's microbes in that, right? What else is in that product?
Okay, so number one is you need to know that this is the most expensive toothpaste that you'll ever buy. But so it's $25 for a small jar, 2 ounce jar of toothpaste, and that's our inexpensive version.
Right. It's cheaper than a dentist.
But it's cheaper than a dentist. So if $25 will help save you the large bills that dentists will incur, then it's certainly worth it. And so at the very onset, I decided to make this product because I was on my sixth root canal, and I'm like, no way, you know, it's like I'm going for another root canal. And I had just started Ascended Health, and I was making these products to care for MRSA and the brown recluse spider bite venom.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I, you know, all the monies that I had made that month, I just started Ascended Health. I literally made like $1,000. I was like, wow, I made $1,000 on the internet selling these products to people I don't even know. And they didn't return them. So I knew that they were working. I was getting testimonials, and I'm like, well, what if, you know, what if the same thing that I applied on the skin to kill the bacteria and the infection on the skin could apply to my mouth? Can I do something like that? And I just ate these anti-venom balm paste that I had successfully stopped the brown recluse spider bite venom from acting on the skin, and I just started swishing it with it on my mouth. And then a week later, I didn't have to go and get a root canal from the dentist. They said,
wow,
hey, teeth aren't infected anymore, they're fine. And so I started thinking, that, okay, you know, I started looking into what were the actual causes of periodontal disease. Well, it turns out that periodontal disease, the majority of periodontal disease is caused by infection, microbial infection. I said, hey, I can do something about that, right? But some parts of periodontal disease, like wisdom teeth, are due to like abnormalities in the growth or due to trauma and things like that. So, you know, I can't really help that because I can't regrow teeth yet. But the 90% of periodontal disease that's caused by microbes can be helped. And I knew that if you can kill the bad bacteria and replace it with the good bacteria, perhaps that could be a strategy towards periodontal disease. And so that was my original goal. And so it's a two-part process, right? It's like the first part is let's kill the bad bacteria and then replace it with good bacteria. And then the second part of the process is how to start regrowing the teeth and be giving it the substances that it can start to heal itself and start to defend itself. So I chunked it down into two different processes, and I went about it in a very methodical way. And I said, okay, what are the bad bacteria? Can we kill them? And I found out that the bad bacteria most often underneath the gum line are anaerobic bacteria. Hmm. And they don't use oxygen. Mm-hmm. You know, they live in the absence of oxygen. And in fact, if you introduce oxygen, like hydrogen peroxide, to them, that kills them.
Right.
So I said, well, hydrogen peroxide doesn't last very long. Is there a way to introduce oxygen different ways that were longer lasting? So I found out a way. Marine phytoplankton, number one, carries the frequency of oxygen because they make oxygen. They make over 75% of the world's oxygen on certain varieties of marine phytoplankton. So I took the marine phytoplankton that was safe for human consumption, and I started blending that in with actual oxygenated oils that were also antimicrobial, that were known, that were scientifically proven to kill off pathogenic bacteria that were in the mouth, like neem oil, like tea tree oil. I have three kinds of tea tree oil in this paste. Oregano oil, very antimicrobial, right? So, you know, we have oils from the Amazon, like Sangre de Grado, that helps stem gum disease, things like that. And then I oxygenate them with 10 forms of oxygen, and then combine them with marine phytoplankton. And that would be oxygen and antimicrobial oils would be two ingredients. And then the third ingredient were these chelators, these earths, these heavy, these earths that were known to chelate heavy metals. And they came from volcanoes and ancient meteorite mines. And in fact, this place in Peru, the birds in Manu, Peru, would actually eat of this same type of clay, this volcanic clay, because it coats their bellies, and they can go out eating the poisonous seeds, because the poisons would be chelated by these metals, by these earths. And so they can eat these plants that have poison seeds. So I said, okay, let's take that earth, which a lot of the indigenous Indians eat, and let's put it in the toothpaste because they're chelating a lot of the heavy metals that we have in our mercury and amalgams and things like that. And in the volcanoes, they have this natural biochar and zeolites and humic acids. Okay, and then, you know, we sweeten it with this sugar called xylitol. And xylitol is known to kill cavities, the things that cause cavities.
Right. Okay?
And then after all that, you know, we've got nano-sized form. We put calcium from pearls. I used to use sea coral until I found out that was really harmful to the environment. So we stopped that. But we actually are now starting to use pearls, crushed up pearls and nano-sized using a vaporizer so that they start to fill in all the cavities. Why? Because there are a lot of dental companies that are making these tooth fillings out of the same thing. So I'm just following their lead, and voila, you've got this $25, $50 toothpaste And you know, I can't make any claims because it's not FDA approved, but sure, we sure get a lot of testimonials that, you know, we even got a testimonial from this mother whose son had $25,000 worth of jaw surgery because he had such intense periodontal disease going on that she was going to have to spend $25,000 to save her son's teeth. Well, he took our extra strength Oralive, which is a $50 product, and he did it for 3 months. So it only took him, literally, he spent like $300 with the product, 3 months, and he was fine. He only had to spend like $4,000 worth of dental procedures, and he was fine. So she was so happy, she gave me this, you know, this beautiful necklace. It was just like an amazing shaman necklace that I still wear to this day. But I just got this package in the mail, and she like, well, you don't know me, but, you know, you saved me over $20,000.
Wow,
this is great. So it basically cleared up the infection. And not only did it clear up the infection, I think it started to remineralize the calcium in his bones.
Right.
But then his jaw started to build up again.
Yeah. Is there crystal in the toothpaste?
Well, it's quartz crystal. It's called Lemurian crystal quartz.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was a long time ago, I was given this 25-pound Lemurian multi-pointed crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the shaman that gave it to me said that was, you know, it had a lot of healing properties to it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was sent to me, it was broken up into, you know, several pieces. And, you know, I just kind of like sat down and thought about it. And I decided, he said, you know, I asked him what I should do. And he said, well, these crystals are there to hold your energy. And because it, you know, he goes, how many pieces did it break up into? And I said, well, several pieces. And he goes, well, give it to several of your friends, several of your closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And every time, you know, in our tradition, if a crystal breaks in half, it's still the same crystal. You give it to someone else. In the ethers, it's actually still the same crystal, but you guys can now communicate to each other. So the thoughts that you have and the thoughts that they have, the crystal keeps them the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have good thoughts, you're actually sending good thoughts to the other holder of the crystal. So I thought to myself, well, why don't I break these crystals down into fine grain? That way I could put it into the toothpaste and it would hold the vibrations that we put into the crystal. And it's long been known that animals have healing vibrations, like cats when they purr, they're known to heal bones.
Mm-hmm.
That purring sounds, it goes from 28 to 45 hertz. Dolphins in the Amazon have been known to heal people just by pinging them with their pings, with the high frequencies.
Uh-huh.
There are whales giving birth off the coast of Patagonia that have healing sounds. So we've actually taken all those healing sounds, and every single batch, we ping each batch with these healing sounds. Like, I've recorded my cat Earthling. He's got a really loud purr. So his purr is being recorded and being taken up by these finely ground Lemurian quartz crystal. And, you know, it's been in the toothpaste for over 5 years now, and they don't, you know, even though the crystal, that doesn't, it's not abrasive on your teeth or anything.
Right.
And it puts a really high vibrational energy to these products. And, you know, people that really believe in vibrational energy, and they do pendulums and they test out these products, they're all saying, like, hey, this stuff pendles pretty well. And, you know, I really don't know if that's valid or not, but, you know, I'm happy.
Well, you know, the probiotic and the detox stuff, that is where you're literally putting the good microbes into your body to reconstitute in your gut, correct?
That's right. Okay, so let me tell you something about these probiotics. Number one, it's not the actual microbes themselves that are going to give you the instant lift. Again, it's their byproducts.
Okay.
The bioactive byproducts in solution that are too small to see with the human eye, that's going to give you the beneficial effects. like the digestive enzymes and the acids that break down minerals, and then the bacteria sins that kill off viruses and all the pathogenic bacteria. You don't have that in the inherent microbe itself. So when you're buying probiotics that are dried in a capsule, you don't get any of these bioactive substances because they have to be in liquefied form. All you're getting are the actual microbes themselves and dried form. And 98% of them are completely dead. And if you don't have them in if you don't have them in a gelatinized form that passes through the pH 2 barrier, the acid barrier of your stomach, they'll all be dead in the stomach. So if you are going to take microbes in pill form, which are the dried microbes, you need to make sure that they're enterically protected so that they'll get into your small intestine. And then once they break open in your small intestine, they're hoping that these microbes will actually not be killed by all the other microbes in the gut, because they're already pinging them with their bacteria sense to kill them. But then they're hoping that they would grow over a length of time and then start producing all the substances, the bioactive substances that are going to be beneficial for you. But that assumes that you're eating the right diet and that you've got the right constitution to actually entice these bacteria to make these substances. So we don't assume anything at Ascended Health. So what we do is we grow the bacteria live on the outside, and then we have a proprietary formula that induces these bacteria to create substances that will break down toxins, as in our active detox formulas. They break down toxins in your liver and kidney and gallbladder. And then in our immune probiotic called the ProAlive, we induce them to create these bacteriocins that, you know, our studies have already been shown that have the capability to inhibit pathogenic bacteria and viruses. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if you could share what you would recommend, like someone finishes listening to the interview, what could that person do today, tomorrow, next week? Obviously, they can get some of your products. That's a great head start. But what are some other simple things that they can do right away to help shift what's going on inside them, so that their body, everything that you talk about, it sounds like that our body is like its own little planet with its own little civilization and of life forms that need to live together harmoniously and symbiotically. What can people do right away? What are some simple things?
Well, the simple things is you need to get yourself a new addiction. And if you're addicted to fast food, processed sugars with high fructose corn syrup, diet soda, you need to get off of that.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to figure out some way, somehow, to start using organic food, food grown consciously at a farmer's market. And trust me, even though the food is twice as expensive, you're going to be, if you don't pay that money, you're going to be paying 10 times more of that amount in the hospitals.
Yeah, right.
So
food is medicine.
So, you know, you have to shift your food habits, number one. And then when you get the food, I would suggest that people make a habit of culturing their foods. And obviously, I would recommend the Ascended Health probiotics as the culture medium to culture your food, because you only need like a dropper full of it to make a nice cultured food. And the way to culture your food is to juice vegetables or actually sprout like grains. Like the best grain you can sprout, believe it or not, is mung bean. Because mung bean sprouted has this compound that's known to fight cancer. It's called vitamin B17. And it used to be called Laetrile. And it was found in apricot kernel seeds, but mung beans have tremendous amounts of it, and you can get them for like like 50 cents a pound, mung beans. So I would sprout mung beans and juice some vegetables, and then once you sprout the mung beans and they just start to sprout, blend them up, you mix them up with a little water, and then you add some cane sugar or honey, and then you add some probiotic. Again, I would recommend Ascended Health probiotic, but, Jarrow, Garden of Life, any of the dried probiotics are just as good. And you just you just put it in the blender and you let it culture on your kitchen table overnight, and drink it the next morning, and you'll literally start to flood yourself with these probiotics will push out the bad probiotics, the bad microbes in your gut.
Okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
So that would be one, and then for our regimen for the skin, you know, your skin has microbes too, and we're finding really, you know, great success at regenerating skin and actually preventing sunburns just by using a combination of our skin probiotic, which is called Dermalive, which resets the normal microbes on your skin. Hmm. And then this oil called I Am Beautiful. And it's actual food for the three layers of your skin once you have the proper microbes on there. And you know, we have triathletes using this stuff, and they don't use any sunblock anymore. They're just using the combination of the Dermalive and the I Am Beautiful oil, and they're always in the sun, like running, biking, and they're in the water, they're swimming. And every single one of them that have been using it, not one of them, after having been running in the sun for over 6 hours, has ever gotten sunburned. And this is on the island of Hawaii.
Wow.
So.
So Compton, for those folks who want to get Ascended Health products, learn more about you and your work, how can they connect with you on the internet and elsewise?
Okay, on the internet is ascendedhealth.com, ascendedhealth.com, and our phone number is 310-383-0333. And if you're ever in the Venice, California area, which is around Los Angeles, we've got a store at 1418 Abbot Kinney called Ascended Living, and they would be glad to help you. Again, that address is 1418 Abbot Kinney in Venice, California, and this store called Ascended Living, which appropriately enough is on the second floor.
Well, thank you for taking time today, Compton. It's been so, so great.
Yeah, I really appreciate you talking to us today and helping to enlighten and increase the awareness of folks everywhere.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, and keep doing the good work, because I think, you know, information is everything. And again, you know, the one takeaway, you can forget everything that I said, but the one takeaway is that if you really want to have good health, the biggest impediment to being healthy is the belief that someone else can make you healthy.
Right. Thanks again, my friend. You've been listening to AskIntegralExperts.com. I'm Doc Barham.
And I'm Michael Richardson.
Good night.
Good night.